نحمده ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Then to continue with Sharh Sunnah of Imam Al-Barbahari rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan hafidhahullah, then last time we had points number 29 and 30. Again, with regard to the important topic of obedience to the ruler, the Muslim ruler. And that whoever rebels against a Muslim ruler, then he is a khariji from the khawarij. And that it is not permissible to fight against a Muslim ruler. So just to summarize some of the points that we had from the explanation of Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, then he mentioned that it is indeed the way of the Khawarij to rebel and fight against the Muslim ruler on account of that ruler committing sins. But using that as an excuse and then fighting against him, rebelling and fighting, is the way of the Khawarij. And the first sprout of the Khawarij was in the time of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was indeed the one known as Dhul Khawaisira. When Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was distributing the booty, then he stood up and said, "Do justice, O Muhammad, do justice, for you have not done justice." So then Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rebutted him, of course, and said, "Woe to you! Who will do justice if I do not do justice? And then Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed his companions that there will come out from the progeny of this one a people who, in comparison to your prayers, or rather your prayers in comparison to their prayers, will be like nothing. You will belittle them. And your worship in comparison to their worship, they will recite the Quran and it will not pass beyond their throats. They shoot out from the religion just as an arrow shoots out through the game. So wherever you find them, then fight against them, for there is indeed reward for fighting against them." Shaykh Al-Fawzan, in explanation, the hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim, Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioned that this hadith, the meaning there is that if they fight, if the Khawarij fight, then we fight against them. If they bear arms, they carry weapons, and come out, then they are to be fought. But if not, they're just the people who hold the beliefs of the Khawarij, but they withhold themselves, they don't come out with weapons, then they are not fought against in that case. Rather, they are rebutted, refuted and rebutted, and advised. And the Shaykh mentioned it was indeed from the virtues of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, from his many virtues, that he was one of those who fought against the Khawarij. When they appeared in his time, then he fought against them. And Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioned that there are two signs mentioned and indicated for the Khawarij here. So from their signs, the two that came here, were firstly, they're rebelling against the Muslim ruler, and they're striving to remove him. And secondly, they're declaring the Muslims to be disbelievers on account of major sins which they commit. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, and what led them to that, what led them to their extreme position is al-ghulu. Going beyond the limits, going beyond the due bounds, going beyond what's legislated, going beyond what's legislated in commanding the good or forbidding the evil. Al-ghulu, extremism. And he quoted the hadith, the authentic hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said with regard to ghulu, extremism, "Beware of ghulu, for those who came before you were only destroyed on account of their ghulu." They're going beyond the limits, going to extreme. Also, there was a point that whoever dies, having exited from obedience to the Muslim ruler, having removed himself from obedience to the Muslim ruler, and he dies upon that state, then he dies a death like the days of ignorance. Sheikh Fawzan explained that and said that does not mean that he dies a disbeliever, but rather we understand it in the light of the fact that in the days of ignorance, the pre-Islamic days of ignorance, the people were separated into separate tribes which would fight against each other. And there would be no single leader upon them. They wouldn't recognize any single leader. Rather, each one would be with his tribe, they'd make attacks upon the other tribes, and some state of anarchy existed in that regard. And then Islam came and united the people, brought unity, and established them under a single ruler. And therefore, a result of that was security of the land, ability to go around for trade, seeking provision, and the security of the pathways. That was came as a result of that. And the Sheikh mentioned, as for rebelling against the ruler, withdrawing from obedience to him and rebelling against him, then that will take the people only back, that will remove all those benefits, and take the people back to the state that they used to be in before, in a state of no security in the land, a state of anarchy. No ability to go around and trade and seek provision, because the roads are not safe, there's anarchy, chaos. No secure roads, highway robbers and the like. So, as the Sheikh said, rebelling against the rulers, it leads to all those evils. Splitting the body of the Muslims, shedding of blood, and finally the enemies of Islam overcoming the Muslims. So that was the meaning of he'll die a death of the days of ignorance. In that sense, one who withdraws himself from obedience to the ruler and dies in that state, he will die in that type of state. Then came the point that even if the ruler is tyrannical and unjust, that does not permit rebellion against him, even in that case. For indeed, the evils that come about through rebelling are greater. Whatever evil there is in the ruler, whether it is tyrannical, unjust, seizes wealth, unduly gives wealth to those who shouldn't receive it, withholds it from those who should receive it, then the evil of rebelling against him and the evils that result from that will be worse. So as the Sheikh said, the principle is that if we have to have one of two evils, then the lesser one, we put up with the lesser one. And we have patience, as occurs in the hadith that came in the chapter, hadith of Abu Dharr, and the hadith of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's advice to the Ansar, to have patience in times like that. So, the point was made that it is not from the Sunnah whatsoever to fight against the Muslim ruler, even if he is oppressive. There is no justification. Even if the ruler has qualities we don't like, he doesn't look. He looks ugly, he looks short, he looks disfigured. Whatever the case. None of that. If he is weak, he is ill, none of that permits fighting against the Muslim ruler. And the Sheikh said, this is not fighting against the ruler, it's not established in any hadith. No authentic hadith, no sahih hadith, no hasan hadith, not even a da'if hadith. No such hadith for fighting against the Muslim ruler. Then the Sheikh made the important point, this does not mean though that the ruler is just left. Well, the ruler is oppressive, got some sins and the like, he's just left, we just leave him to do his own thing and leave him alone. Rather, he is to be advised, and he is to be advised in private. The ruler is to be advised in private. So he's not left, he's advised. Those who are able, have the knowledge and are able to advise, they advise the ruler. In accordance with the hadith of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reported by Muslim, that the deen, ad-deenun nasiha, the deen is sincerity. People said, to whom? So Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to sincerity towards, he said, towards Allah, and towards his book, and towards his messenger, and towards the rulers of the Muslims and their common folk. And then finally, the point came that no doubt fighting against the ruler, the Muslim ruler, produces corruption, as the Imam al-Bukhari mentioned, produces corruption of the religion and corruption of this worldly life as well, both. The dunya and the deen. The deen and the dunya both will be corrupted by fighting against the Muslim ruler. As for the dunya, then this world, that will be rendered corrupt for the people, because the anarchy that will result, and the authority will be lost. And as for the corruption of the religion, meaning with respect to the people, their religion, because when the ruling is fought against, then there will be no one to implement the Islamic rulings, no one to establish the Islamic rulings. So the religion is corrupted. The prescribed punishments cannot be established except by the ruler, the one with authority. The hands of the thieves cannot be cut except by the one in authority. The roads, the highway robbers, cannot be caught and dealt with except by the ruler. So when the ruler is fought against, authority is lost, then all of these things are lost. So both the religion and the worldly life suffer. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he continues. And what comes here on page 240 of the two volume correct edition, point number 31, that Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, وَيَحِلُّ حِجَابُ الْخَوَارِجِ إِذَا عَرَضُوا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ إِذَا فَارَقُوهُمْ. That's what it says, فَارَقُوهُمْ, and perhaps it should be, as in many of the other versions, if not all of them, إِذَا فَارَقُوهُ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ إِذَا فَارَقُوهُ أَنْ يَطْلُبَهُمْ وَلَا يُجْهِزُ عَلَى جَرِيفِهِمْ وَلَا يَأْخُذُ فَيْئَهُمْ وَلَا يَقْتُلُ أَصِيرَهُمْ وَلَا يَتْبَعُ مُدْبِرَهُمْ. He's saying, rahimahullah, and it is permissible to fight the Khawarij if they attack the property, persons, or families of the Muslims. But if they desist and depart, then it is not his right to chase them. Nor are their wounded to be killed, nor may he seize their property as booty, nor may he kill those of them taken captive, nor may he chase those of them who flee. Shaykh Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said in explanation, we have come to know that the Khawarij are those who hold breaking away from obedience. And they hold that there is no pledge of allegiance to the person in authority, to the ruler. There's no bay'ah to him, no pledge of authority. Or that no bay'ah, no pledge remains if he commits sin. And they declare the Muslims to be disbelievers on account of major sins. And the Sheikh said, so those people who accept this position, but they do not have strength and they do not fight, then they are left, along with their being advised and having the affair made clear to them, so that perhaps they may return. But as for if they come to have strength and they manifest their force, then it becomes obligatory upon the Muslims to fight against them, to repel their evil. And they are not fought against upon the basis that they are disbelievers. The Khawarij are not fought because they're disbelievers, therefore we fight them. No. Sheikh said, they are not fought upon the basis that they are disbelievers. Rather, they are fought against upon the basis that they are Muslims who have transgressed against the Muslims and attacked them. And for this reason, when the chief of the believers, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali radiallahu anhu, was questioned about the Khawarij and asked, أَكُفَّارٌ هُمْ, are they disbelievers? He said, لَا مِنَ الْكُفْرِ فَرُّوا وَلَكِنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ بَغَوْا عَلَيْنَا. When Ali radiallahu anhu was asked about the Khawarij, are they disbelievers? So he said, no, they fled away from disbelief. But rather they are a people who transgressed against us. In a footnote here, there's some length to this footnote, so they bring a couple of footnotes here, which I know there's some benefit in. that firstly they mention, you'll find this report reported by Abdul Razak in his Musannaf and Al-Bayhaqi in As-Sunan Al-Kubra. And just as an addition to that, you'll find some narrations reported by Ibn Abi Shaybah also in his Musannaf, as indicated here, also by Al-Bayhaqi, some reports. And some of the reports contain the wording that Ali radiallahu anhu said something similar to this with regard to the people of the camel, I mean the companions who fought against him in the battle of the camel. And in some of the reports it mentions that he said something like this with regard to the Khawarij at Nahrawan. And as for this wording that Sheikh al-Fawzan mentioned here, that is indeed as Sheikh al-Fawzan mentioned it, he said it with regard to the Khawarij, this particular wording here. And there's an important difference with regard to the wording. Then they bring a footnote where they bring some quotes from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. So they say, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, in Risala Tufadli Ahl al-Bayt wa Hukukihim, a treatise with regard to the virtue of the Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and their rights. And Shaykh al-Islam said in this treatise, it is established from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali radiallahu anhu, through different reports, different chains, that when he fought against the people of the camel, he did not take their children as slaves, and he did not take their wealth as booty, and he did not kill their wounded ones, and he did not chase after those who fled, and he did not kill any captive. And he prayed funeral prayer over those who had been killed from both sides at the Battle of the Camel. Killed over those who died from his own army, those who had been killed from his own army, those who had been killed from the companions on the other side. He prayed funeral prayer over both sets of them, at both the Battle of the Camel and the Battle of Siffin. And he said, "Ikhwanuna baghaw alayna." And he said in that context, they are our brothers. They transgressed against us. And he informed that they are not disbelievers, nor are they hypocrites. And in what he said, he was following the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since he called them brothers, and he declared them to be believers in the fighting and in the transgression. Along with the fighting, along with the transgression, still he called them brothers. Just as is mentioned in his saying, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا Surah Al-Hujurat, the 48th Surah, Ayah 9, to the end of the Ayah. Just mentioned the part of the Ayah, an indication of the Ayah. Then they bring a quote from the same treatise from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah that he also said, two pages later. They are not equal, those who were killed, who he prayed over, and he called them Ikhwanuna, our brothers. They are not equal, along with those whom he did not pray over. Now, as the Tukman mentioned, the Khawarij at the Battle of Nahrawan, and those he did not pray over. Rather, when it was said to him, who are those people who ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا? Quoting the ayah from Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th surah, towards the end of the surah, when someone asked him, who are those people who striving in this world will be lost, will be in vain, whilst they think that they are doing good? That he replied, هم أهل حرورا. So they are the people of Harora, meaning the Khawarij. So that's the different way that he treated those who fought against him, the Battle of Camel, Battle of Siffin, from the companions, and those who were with them. He prayed funeral prayer over them. As for the Khawarij, that's what he quoted with regard to them. Also, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, rahimahullah, and likewise, and this is a quote from his book, Minhaj al-Sunnah, that he said, and likewise the people of Siffin, he prayed the funeral prayer over those who were killed from them. And he said, Ikhwanuna baghaw alayna. فَحَّرَهُمُ السَّيْفِ. He said, they are our brothers. They transgressed against us. They fought against, they came against us. But the sword purified them. He said, and if in his view they had been disbelievers, he would not have prayed funeral prayer over them. And he would not have declared them to be brothers. And he would not have stated that the sword purified anything from them. Just before finishing, Sheikh Abdul Malik al-Ramadani, in his book Takhlis al-Ibad, his book of reputation upon the modern day Khawarij and the corruption causes, he mentioned what is authentic from Ali radiallahu anhu. There's an important difference to make here in these reports, that both what he said with regard to the people of Jamal and Safin is authentic, and what he said with regard to the Khawarij is authentic. However, that when he used the word Ikhwanuna Baghaw Alayna, this is only authentic with regard to the people of the Jamal and Safin. With regard to companions, those who died at the Battle of the Camel and the Battle of Safin, he said, our brothers, they transgressed against us. With regard to the Khawarij, the wording is as Sheikh of Fawzan put it here. What's authentic with regard to the Khawarij is that he said, Qawmun baghaw alayna. When they were asked, are they disbelievers? He said, no, they fled from disbelief. Qawmun walakinnahum qawmun baghaw alayna. They are a people who transgressed against us. He didn't call them his brothers. He said, there are people who transgressed against us. And then he quoted the same quotes from Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. So just that important point, sometimes that point is confused there. But what Ali radiallahu anhu said with regard to Khawarij is sometimes misunderstood or misquoted. Back to what Sheikh al-Fawzan said in his explanation, he said, having quoted the saying of Ali radiallahu anhu, he said with regard to Khawarij, they fled away from disbelief, but rather they transgressed against us. They are a people, Aumun, who transgressed against us. Then he said, so they, the Khawarij, they are not fought against upon the basis that they are disbelievers. And therefore their women and their children are not taken as slaves, and their property is not seized, and those of them who are injured are not killed, because the fighting against them is just to repel their evil, not because of their being disbelievers. Then he quotes the next phrase from the text. He's saying, وَيَحِلُّ قِتَالُ الْخَوَارِجِ إِذَا عَرَضُوا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنْفُسِهِمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ. And it is permissible to fight against the Khawarij if they attack the Muslims with regard to their property, their persons and their families. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded that they be fought against, and because Ali radiallahu anhu, he fought against them when they attacked Abdullah ibn Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu, and they killed him, and they split open the abdomen of his slave girl who was pregnant. So then, when they did that, then the chief of the believers, meaning Ali radiallahu anhu, he resolved to fight them, because the first signs of their evil had now appeared from them. I mean, they were there as a group, they were there already. When they did the like of this, then Ali radiallahu anhu resolved to fight them. Sheikh Fawzan said, he's saying, وَلَيْسَ لَهُ إِذَا فَارَقُوهُمْ فَارَقُوهُ أَنْ يَطْلُبَهُمْ. And he said, but it is not for him, Muslim ruler, it is not for him if they desist and leave them alone, meaning they leave the Muslims alone, it is not for him to then chase them. Sheikh Fawzan said, if they desist from fighting, then it is not for the ruler to chase them and to wage war against them, as long as they do not commit transgression. So they are astray, without any doubt, and it is obligatory to give them advice, so that perhaps they will return. However, they are not to be fought. In the Khawarij, in that case, when they don't fight, they withhold from fighting, then they're not to be fought. Now. He said, he's saying, وَلَا يُجْهِزُ عَلَى جَرِيْفِهِمْ. And he may not kill they're injured. Sheikh said, because the wounded person, his evil has been curbed. He's wounded in battle and I can't do anything. His evil has already been curbed by his injury there. He said, he's saying, وَلَا يَأْخُذُ فَيْأَهُمْ, and he may not take their property as booty. All this refers to the Khawarij. He may not take their property as booty. Sheikh said, meaning their property is not taken as ghanima, as booty, as spoils of war, because it is property of the Muslims. He said, he's saying, وَلَا يَقْتُلُوا أَسِيرَهُمْ, and he may not kill those of them taken prisoner. Sheikh Razan said, because they are Muslims, and their evil has been prevented by their having been taken captive, and by their being wounded. And that's sufficient. He said, he's saying, وَلَا يَتْبَعُوا مُدْبِرَهُمْ, and those of them who flee away are not to be chased. Sheikh Razan said, if they are defeated, if they are defeated, then the ruler leaves them alone, and he does not chase after them, because their evil has been repelled. Then comes point number 32, that Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, said, وَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا طَاعَةَ لِبَشَرٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُ وَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And then there's a phrase, as it occurs here, وَلَا يُشْهَدُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ وَلَا يُشْهَدُ لَهُمْ. And in other versions, that just occurs the phrase, فَلَا تَشْهَدُ لَهُ. And it continues, either way, بِعَمَلِ خَيْرٍ وَلَا شَرٍ فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي بِمَا يُخْتَمُ لَهُ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ تَرْجُو لَهُ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ وَتَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ. In a number of versions, ذُنُوبَهُ. وَلَا تَدْرِي مَا يَسْبِقُ لَهُ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ النَّدَمِ وَمَا أَحْدَثَ اللَّهُ فِي ذَلِكَ الْوَقْتِ إِذَا مَاتَ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ تَرْجُو لَهُ الرَّحْمَةِ, or in a number of versions, رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ وَتَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ ذُنُوبَهُ وَمَا مِنْ ذَنْبٍ إِلَّا وَلِلْعَبْدِ مِنْهُ تَوْبَةٌ. Saying of Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, and know that there is to be no obedience, and know that there is to be no obedience to any human in disobedience to Allah the Mighty and Majestic. And whoever is from the people of Islam, then do not bear witness of paradise or the fire for him on account of his having done a deed, on account of his having done a deed, whether good or bad, since you do not know what his deeds will be concluded with at the point of death. You hope for Allah's mercy for him, and you fear for him because of his sins. You do not know what is destined for him at the point of death with regard to his repenting to Allah, and what Allah may bring about for him at that time, if he dies upon Islam. You hope for Allah's mercy for him, and you fear for him because of his sins. And there is no sin except that the servant may repent from it. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, in explanation, his saying, وَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا طَاعَةَ لِبَشَرٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, and know that there is no obedience to any human in disobedience to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, this is an exception to what has preceded, referring to what he mentioned with regard to it's being obligatory to obey the ruler, that it is not obligatory in everything. Rather, they are only to be obeyed in that which is not ma'siyah, in that which is not a sin. As for if they command a sin, then they are not obeyed upon sin. And there occurs in the hadith that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam appointed a leader over an army detachment of the companions. So when they proceeded upon the way, this leader said to them, gather some firewood. So when they had gathered it, he said, set it ablaze, set it on fire. So when they had set it blazing, he said, enter into the fire. Did not the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, isma'u wa ati'u, hear and obey? So some of them said, we did not obey the Messenger except in order to flee away from the fire. So how can we then enter into it? So therefore they refused to enter into it. So when that news reached Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, amma innahum law dakhaluha lam yakhruju minha innama ta'atu fil ma'ruf. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if they had entered it, then they would not have come out from it. Obedience is only in that which is good. The hadith that they mentioned in the footnote has preceded, and it's a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith 7145, and Muslim as hadith 1840, from a hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu. Then Shaykh Fawzan quotes a second evidence. He said, and he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, la ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'siyati al-khaliq. There is to be no obedience to a created being in disobedience to the Creator. In a footnote, they mention again, this checking has proceeded, and we had there that place that's reported by Imam Ahmad and At-Tabarani and others from a hadith of Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu, and declared Sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani in As-Sahihah, number 179. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, still on this point of obedience, the obedience being restricted to that which is good, he said, and he the Most High said with regard to the parents, anishkur li wa li walidayka ilayya al-masir wa in jahadaka. The ayah 14, and Shaykh will continue the ayahs 14 and 15 from Surah Luqman, the 31st Surah, with the explanation, and be thankful to me and to your parents, the return will be to me. And if those two strive, the Shaykh said, meaning the parents, if those two mean the parents, the two parents, if they strive, ala an tushrika bi ma laysa laka bihi ilm, فَلَا تُطِئْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَاتَّبِئْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. The ayah with the explanation, that if they, the parents, if they strive to make you associate with, along with me, that which you have no knowledge of, then do not obey them. Do not obey them. But accompany them, live with them in this world, in a good manner, and follow the way of those who turn to me. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, commenting, however, that does not mean that obedience to the ruler ceases. I mean the fact that we obey the ruler only in that which is, and we don't obey the ruler in that which is disobedience. If it's disobedience to Allah, we don't obey the ruler in that matter. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, however, that does not mean that obedience to the ruler ceases. That obedience to him is removed if he commands something sinful. But rather, it means that he is not obeyed in that sin. He is not obeyed in that sinful matter. Whereas obedience to him remains in that which is not a sin. This is the meaning of there is no obedience to a created being in disobedience to the Creator. We don't obey him in that sin. But the rest of the affairs which are not sin, we do obey him. We carry on obeying him. Then the Shaykh said, so it is not to be said that Allah has commanded obedience to the ruler, and He has commanded obedience to the parents. Fine treatment and obedience to the parents in everything. That should not be said. That's not correct. In unrestricted obedience. That should not be said. Allah has commanded us to just obey the rulers, whatever, and to obey and be right, to obey the parents in everything, whatever. The Shaykh said, we say, yes, Allah commanded obedience to those in authority, but upon what is good. Obedience in what is good. And He commanded obedience to the parents, however, in what is good. Not in disobedience to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And he said, he's saying, وَلَا يُشْهَدُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ وَلَا يُشْهَدُ لَهُ بِعَمَلِ خَيْرٍ وَلَا شَرٍ. And witness, I mean regarding paradise or the fire, may not be given against anyone, nor for him, based upon his having done a good or bad deed. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this matter of bearing witness of paradise or of the fire for a specific individual, this is that matter. So witness is not given for a specific individual of paradise, that he will be in paradise. Nor is witness given that he will be in the fire, except with a proof from the book and the sunnah. It was like an individual, a specific person, this person here with a specific person. We don't say that this person is in the paradise, or that person there is in the fire, a specific individual, unless you have a text to say that specific individual there, named individual, is in the paradise, or that one is in the fire. Without a text, we don't say that. Then he said, as for one who there is no proof to state that he is from the people of paradise, even if he is from, even if he is a righteous person, a believer, then we do not do so, because we do not know what his concluding action will be. And likewise, a sinful person or a disbeliever, we do not state for certain that he, I mean that individual, that he is from the people of the fire, because he might repent, and we do not know. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَا يَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَلَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابُ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا وَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَا يَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابُ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, one of you may perform the actions of the people of paradise until there is not between him and it except a cubit, forearm. But then what was written overtakes him, and he acts with the action of the people of the fire, and therefore he enters it. And one of you may act with the actions of the people of the fire until there is not between him and it except a forearm, a dirah, cubit. And then what was written overtakes him, and he acts with the action of the people of paradise, and therefore he enters it. In a footnote they mention the hadith reported by al-Bukhari in his Sahih, and the reference should be hadith number 6594, and Muslim in his Sahih as hadith 2643, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Obviously the famous hadith of al-Sadiq al-Masduq, the fourth hadith in An-Nawawi's 40 hadith. Shaykh Fawzan said, al-a'malu bil-khawateem, as he's quoting the wording of a hadith here, that actions are in accordance with their conclusions. A person's actions are in accordance with the conclusion, what comes at the end of his life, right at the end. Actions are in accordance with their conclusions. And the conclusions, the concluding actions, are not known except to Allah, the knower of all hidden things, He the Perfect and Most High. But as for us, then we have fear for the people of sins, and we have hope for the people of acts of obedience, but we do not state with certainty. Rather, we have hope for those who are obedient. We do not state with certainty. We do not state with certainty that the sins of these people are in paradise. And we have fear for the sinful ones, but we do not state with certainty. This is with regard to specific individuals. So all the Shaykh has been mentioning here, we've got specific individuals. Then he said, in al-mu'ayyaneen, the specific individuals here. So-and-so is a person of obedience. Person over there, person of sin. We don't say, this person, that's it, he's in paradise. That one there, he's going to be in the fire. We don't do that. Then the Shaykh said, as for people in general, and make a generality that the obedient people, the believers, or we make those who are sinful, those who are disbelievers, in general. Just as for in general, then we state with certainty that the people of Iman, the people of true belief, are the people of paradise. And we state with certainty that the disbelievers are the people of the fire. Allah the Most High said with regard to the fire, وَعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 131, with the explanation about the fire, that it has already been prepared for the disbelievers. And he said with regard to paradise, وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ Same surah, two ayahs later, Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 133, with regard to paradise, وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ That, for the explanation, it has already been prepared for those who have taqwa, those who are fearful of Allah and dutiful to Him. Shaykh Fawzan said, this is with regard to the general. As for specific individuals and specific people, then this is entrusted to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. However, we behave and deal with them upon the basis of what is apparent. We deal with the people of obedience in accordance with what appears from them. And we deal with the people of sins in accordance to what appears from them, what is apparent from them. We pass judgment in accordance with what is apparent only, not stating the final destination and the final outcome. For that lies in the hand of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So that's where Shaykh Fawzan ends his explanation. And just as a final point, with regard to the explanation of Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, then he dealt with the point that wasn't dealt with here directly. وَمَا مِنْ ذَنْبٍ إِلَّا وَلِلْعَبْدِ مِنْهُ تَوْبَةٍ And there is no sin except that the servant can repent from it. Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, he said in his explanation, At-tawbah, repentance is acceptable from every sin with regard to the rulings relating to the hereafter. And the Prophet, with regard to a sin a person commits, then he can repent from it, and in the hereafter, that be wiped away from him with regard to the ruling of the hereafter. Then he said, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, did you not know, and this is a hadith with regard to the word of a Muslim, when Amr ibn al-As came to accept Islam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to put out his hand to give his pledge, and so he withheld it for a moment. He said, because I want to make a condition. So the Prophet asked him what condition he wanted to make. He said that what I did before should be forgiven. So therefore the Prophet said, the hadith that the Shaykh quotes here, back to what the Shaykh said, he said, do you not know that Islam demolishes what came before it, gets rid of what came before it, and that performing hijrah demolishes what came before it, and that the Hajj demolishes what came before it, demolishes whatever sins came before. Hadith reported by Muslim, find it then in the book of Iman, hadith number 121. Then the Sheikh said, and his saying with regard to the man who had killed 99 men, and who can come between him and between repentance? Again, the hadith reported by Muslim. Sheikh said, and the ahadith in this regard are very clear. And the difference that there is only with regard to the person. I mean, as for a person repenting from a sin and being forgiven it in the hereafter, not a, you know, it's forgiven. And that's clear, that's any sin, it can be any sin. He repents sincerely, that's it, gone. With regard to the rulings of the hereafter. However, there's a point the Sheikh makes now. There are certain sins that a ruling will still be upon him, even if he repents. There were certain sins, a ruling will still be upon him in this life. And there's a difference about that. So the Sheikh said, the disagreement is with regard to a person who spoke words of abuse against the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or against the Qur'an. Is his repentance accepted with regard to this world? Or is he judged, or is judgment passed that he is to be executed? And with regard to the hereafter, if he truly repents, then he can be forgiven that sin. But as for how we deal with him in the world, the Islamic ruler, the person who has done that, he's abused the Qur'an, or he's abused the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah save us all from that. Is it to be said, no, he's repented, so he's let free? Or is it to be said, no, even if he's repented, still, that crime has a punishment, which is execution. There's a difference about that. The Sheikh said, even if he makes clear his repentance, then this has been clarified by Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah in his book, As-Salim al-Maslul, Ala Shaitim al-Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah is the one who grants success. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.